I'm trying to remember. Is there something going on today? Four around this afternoon? Oh, my bad. Thanks, man. No, this is plunge. I think that was last year's plunge. Plunge is a time where we get together as a church and celebrate our brothers and sisters coming to faith in Jesus Christ. That's what it is. It's a celebration. It's a time to recognize and to remember what Jesus has done for us and to celebrate those people coming into his brothers and sisters in Christ. So, so it may be a little surprise to you this morning that I'm up here talking. I'm not, but just a few times a year I might. Well, it's not near as big of a surprise it is to me either. So, 8 o'clock this morning. I'll tell you what, let's reset the timeline. 11 o'clock last night, we start a fire right over here for barbecue. By the way, we're having barbecue at Plunge. Not the most important thing about Plunge, but it is a good thing. So thank you to all the people, the guys that have been up all night, including myself, cooking the barbecue. But again, back to our timeline, 11 o'clock, 11 p.m., we start the fire. About 1 o'clock, we start putting the pork shoulders on. 6:30, I go home to take a shower. 8 o'clock, getting ready for church, I get a phone call from Chris Royalty. Chris Royalty says, "Hey man, Erin is really sick and she can't take care of the kids. So I need someone to take care of her and the girls. Do you think you could preach this morning?" Sure, man, I'd love to. So I'm sleep deprived and a little bit in shock. So I asked y'all just kind of bear with me. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will be the one speaking through me today. Basically, what we're going to talk about today is baptism, is plunge. We're going to talk about that. And it's going to be a little more of teaching rather than preaching. How many people have been to plunge before? Right? Okay, cool. How many people have been baptized at plunge? How about that? That's awesome. Yeah, we do this once a year, and we've been doing it. This is probably our seventh or eighth time to do it. How many people are getting baptized today? One. Okay, we got a few. If you're getting baptized today, part of the prerequisite of being baptized at Plunge is that you've got to talk to a counselor. Yeah, you have to talk to a pastor or an elder or one of the ministers like Jason Pennington or Elena. And you have to go through a class. And we've got a class scheduled where we teach about baptism following this service. Guess what? Y'all are going to all go through the class right now. So if you're planning on staying after second service, forget it. We're going to do it right now, okay? That's called improvise, right? But it's good. This is good information that we all can use. I think it's good that we all make sure we know what we believe about baptism and what baptism is, okay? So just like everything else that we talk about, baptism starts and begins with the gospel, okay? What is the gospel? I'm teaching here, so I'm gonna ask for you to be a little bit interactive this morning, which is a little different. But can somebody tell me what the gospel? I heard it. What's the gospel? Good news. Good news about what? Anybody? Jesus. That's right. To make it really simple, to boil it down, it's the good news about Jesus, about what Jesus has done for us. I've got a little broader definition here. It says, the gospel is the good news of the story of how God created us in perfect community with Him. We sinned and were separated from Him and deserved condemnation. Despite this, He loved us and he pursued us. He reached down for us, and he made provision for us by sending Jesus Christ, who was the Son of God, as a substitute for our sins. Jesus lived a perfect life. He was crucified and was raised from the dead 3 days later. Through faith in him, we are united in him, forgiven our sins, and reconciled to God. That is not good news. That is great news for us, for those of us that believe in Jesus. So that's where we start today, is the work of Jesus. And we're not going to stray from that, because that's what it's all about. When we get to the end of this, in the next, I don't know, hour and a half. No, just kidding. Just kidding. In the next 15 or 20 minutes, it's going to boil down to that. It's all about Jesus. So, all right, again, another chance for you to win bonus points. What are the ordinances? We celebrate two ordinances at 24 Church. Can somebody tell me what one of those is? Communion. I heard communion. That is correct. What's the other one? Baptism. Ding, ding, ding. You got it. Basically, and if you grew up in a Catholic church, you might have called these sacraments. But sacraments and ordinances are the same thing. They're basically tangible representations of the gospel. They provide us with an opportunity to remember God's goodness and grace. Let's take the Lord's Supper, for instance, or communion. And we're going to celebrate communion today too, if you come out to plunge. And I hope you all do. But communion is a time that we remember and celebrate together what God has done, His grace and His sacrifice. I mean, that's basically what communion is. And baptism is the exact same thing. It's not the exact same thing, but it accomplishes the same thing. It basically professes our faith publicly in Jesus, and it reminds us of God's grace and what He's done for us. So that's why it's an ordinance, and that's why it's so important to our church and the church. But a lot of times, though, we make it a lot more than what it actually is. A lot of times we make it all about baptism, and particularly in some of the religious culture that we have in this area of the country. I mean, I grew up Baptist. Some of you may have grown up Church of Christ. Some of these different denominations have such different views of baptism. What is it? Is it like the end all of everything? Is that the most important thing? Is it? What is it? Well, to prove what it is, I'm going to start with saying what it's not, or what it does not. First of all, before I get into what baptism is not or does not, we're going to get into the Word quite a bit through this teaching this morning. So if you've got a Bible, go ahead and pull it out. We're going to be looking in the 10th chapter of Romans to start with. I'm going to be all over the place in the Bible. So just kind of be, if you're fast, if you did like the Bible, what was it called, relay or Bible drill. If you were good at that, then you'll be fine today. If not, we'll have it on the screen. If you don't have a Bible, we've got our ushers have got them. They're going to be handing those out. Raise your hand. Be good to have this morning. Let me encourage you this. If you don't have a Bible at home, this is a nice leather-bound Bible. If you don't have a good Bible that you can understand and read and you'll use, then please take this one. Please take this one as your gift. But if you take it, please use it. Okay? We're in Romans, just to start with this morning, the 10th chapter, and we're going to look at verse 9. Baptism is not or does not. What's the first one? Baptism, and maybe the most important one, baptism does not. Baptism does not save. Let me repeat it. Let's all say it. Baptism does not save. Baptism does not save. Only trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior saves. Baptism does not save. Let's look at, again, that scripture in Romans. 10, verse 9. It says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Notice it does not say, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead and you are baptized, then you will be saved. It doesn't. What's required for our salvation is faith in Jesus and what he's done for us. Okay? That's an important thing. Our baptism does not save us. But instead, it only testifies of our salvation. It's what we do to show others what Jesus has done to save us. Okay? So the act doesn't save us. This is kind of a related point. Number two, it's not necessary for our salvation. So not only does the act of baptism not save us, nor is it necessary part of our salvation. So, yeah, well, I believe that Jesus is the one that saves me, but I also need to be baptized, right? And just to make sure and to ensure that salvation, right? No. I'm teaching you this morning that no, that is not the case. Salvation, your salvation is not dependent upon your baptism. Okay? But it's done out of obedience. We baptize and we are baptized because we want to obey what Jesus has asked us to do. Number three, this one's always kind of funny because we get this a lot of times when we interview people about baptism, or you know, you think about being in a creek, and of course this is Sycamore, this may not apply to Sycamore Creek, but baptism does not wash away our sins. The act of going down into water and coming back up, or spraying water, or somebody pouring water on your head, does not wash away your sins. Only the blood of Jesus washes away your sins. It is the only thing, nothing else, nothing can be added to it. Only Jesus and what he's done for us washes away our sins. Baptism only represents the washing away of our sins through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Again, that's the only thing that washes away our sins, not the water, not the baptism. There's nothing magical about what happens during baptism, okay? Number four, baptism does not make you a member of 24 Church. I'm very sorry if you're under the impression that to be a member of the church, you need to get baptized. Some churches are that way. A way to join the church is through baptism. No, not 24 Church. Now, I will say that it is a prerequisite that you've been baptized for you to become a member of 24 Church, but the act of being baptized does not make you a member of 24 Church. We have what's called a covenant membership here. And there's some things that you have to covenant to do, that you do. And obviously the very first and most important thing is that at some point in your life you came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. That's the number one thing. And in obedience to him, we then ask you to be baptized. So if you think, well, I want to be a member of this body of believers, I'm going to be baptized. That's not why we baptize, okay? We do see in Scripture, though, some mandates for baptism, that baptism is important, and these are why, and we're going to look in Scripture real quick. The first one, and most obvious one, I think, is out of Matthew, 28th chapter of Matthew. This is what's called the Great Commission. We're going to look at verses 18 through 20. Here it is on the screen. And most of you, this is probably... I would think this may be the most read passage from stage, and it's rightfully so. It is so important to the mission of your mission as a believer, your mission as 24 Church, and the mission altogether is the church, is the body of Jesus. So, just an extremely important verse. This is Jesus telling us what to do next, basically. He says, and Jesus came to them and said, he said, this is right before Jesus ascends into heaven. He's got about a group of 130 disciples around, and he says this to them. He says, these are his last words before he ascends into heaven. He says, and Jesus came to them and said, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Basically, I'm God, okay? Now go then, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So you see, Jesus here is commanding us. He first commands us to go and then to make disciples. It doesn't say, just interesting that he doesn't say go and save people. We can't save people. We have to just go tell them about what Jesus has done for us. That's how we make disciples. We try to make them like, help people become like Jesus. That's a side note. But then we're to baptize them. If they come to faith in Christ, we're to baptize them. And he asks us to do that. So there's the first mandate we see in Scripture. We see another one in Acts. Obviously, we've been in Acts and we've talked about this Scripture. But Acts 2, verse 37, this is Peter at Holocaust, excuse me, Holocaust, Pentecost. That would be strange. Sleep deprived, you know, come on, just give me a break, right? At Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit came on the church for the first time, he preached a sermon, and 3,000 people were saved. And this is what it says here in verse 37. It says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. So when he's just told them about Jesus. He's told them the gospel, the good news, and it absolutely cut them to the heart. And they believed. And they said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, brothers, what shall we do? Now what do we do next? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all of who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. And so those who received his word were baptized. And there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. Unfortunately, I don't think we have enough barbecue for that. But, no, it was a great day. Awesome. But we see here, in the very first evidences of the early church, that baptism was very important. But it was as a result of the faith in the gospel. Okay? And then finally, we're going to look at Acts 22:16. This is Paul looking back on how he was converted, and how he was saved, how Jesus spoke to him on the road to Damascus, and he was blinded. And you know, if you remember, Jesus said, "Paul, Paul, why are you forsaking me?" Paul was killing Christians, and Paul literally met Jesus there on that day, and he goes into a guy's house in Damascus, and the guy kind of takes care of him, and the Lord speaks to this guy, Ananias, and tells him to do this, which is in verse 16. He says, and now, why do you wait? Okay, you just saw Jesus. Now the scales have fallen off your eyes. You're no longer blind. Why do you wait? Rise up. Go. Get up. And go back, get baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on his name. So he's had faith in Jesus, which has washed away his sins. Now we're seeing that Paul was baptized as well. So again, this continued mandate on baptism. So who should be baptized? Well, the desire to be baptized should be motivated by a desire to glorify God in faithful obedience. Again, I'm going to read that again. The desire to be baptized should be motivated by a desire to glorify God in faithful obedience. Any other motivation, whether it be to join a local church or to please a friend or a family member or to get baptized in a creek because it's cool, any other motivation other than that, other than the desire to glorify God by faithful obedience, should be met with, which should not be the ultimate reason for seeking to be baptized. So baptism is kind of like this. We have any show-offs? Anybody? Maybe this is a time for you to tell on your like husband or wife. Any show-offs in here? You can point. Show-off, huh? We got any show-offs? Some people, in the first service, somebody stepped up and said that I was. I don't know. But show-offs, basically, they like to show themselves off so they can get attention. And in a sense, that's kind of what baptism is, though. Baptism is your chance to show off. But see, you don't show yourself off, you show your new self off. See, what baptism does, it shows that your old self has died. Literally, your old self is no longer there. You have died, and Jesus reached down and raised you to a new life. That's what baptism represents. And this is a chance to show that off and show the world that this is, you're no longer that old person, that you're a new person that Jesus has reached down to and grabbed and saved. That's what baptism does. It shows people that. And it shows people that for the glory of God. Because you don't do it because, look what I've done. You do it because, look what Jesus has done for me. That's baptism. In light of that, who should be baptized? Who should be baptized? Well, at 24 Church, we practice what's called believer's baptism. It just simply means this, that we only baptize those people that believe and confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And we see Scripture that backs this up. We see it in Acts 2:41, Galatians 3:27, Acts 8:12. If you look at Acts 8:12 real quick, Acts 8:12, it says this. It says, but when they believed, so they believed first. Get that? Philip, as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, then they were baptized. So they're baptized as a result of their belief. So, as a believer's baptism, the belief is the most important thing. It comes first. So who should be baptized? Regenerated believers in the saving work of Jesus Christ. So you're absolutely a new creation. At that point, you qualify for being baptized. To show people that. Show people that you've been a new creation and the old has died and the new has come. Number two, you should be baptized if you're a regenerated believer who's never been baptized, and in particular by immersion and after trusting in Jesus. So this is what we see a lot, and I see a lot, is you see maybe people that are truly saved, they've truly come to a saving faith in Jesus, but they never followed the Lord's command to be baptized. Does that mean they're not saved? Does that mean they're not saved? Absolutely not. It means they're not saved. It means that they doesn't mean that they're not saved. Okay, but you're still commanded to do it. So I'm sure there's people in this room that maybe at some point accepted Jesus and they didn't tell anybody, or they believe they came into belief on what Jesus has done for them, but they never followed through with baptism. There's a lot of those people out there in the church, and that's what baptism's for. So we can show people that we've got this new life, that we've accepted Jesus. We also see this, though, that maybe you were baptized as a child, and then you baptized because your mom wanted you to, or maybe your friend was getting baptized, and you wanted to go be baptized too. battery. Well, but it wasn't, you didn't really know Jesus. You never really had a saving faith in Jesus at that time. So you were baptized on the wrong side of your salvation. Maybe it was this. Maybe you were sprinkled as a child. And at some point later on in life, maybe you came to know Jesus. Again, if you haven't been baptized by immersion on the correct side of your salvation, so after you believe, then baptism is for you. You need to be baptized. Who should be baptized? And number three, it says, if you're baptized and previously asked the question, this kind of reiterates what I just said, but if you were baptized previously and you could ask the question, was I truly trusting in Jesus for my salvation when I was baptized? And you have to answer that no. If you could honestly say, when I was baptized, you know, I don't know if I was really saved, or I don't really think I was saved, or I know I wasn't saved. If you answer that way, then when you were baptized, guess what? You just went swimming. That's it. You got wet. It's no different than taking a bath, except people probably applauded. Most people don't applaud when you take a bath, at least I hope not. But I mean, that's basically all it was getting wet if you didn't know Jesus. So baptism is only for those people that have come to a saving faith in Jesus. So who should not be baptized then? Got a list of here of people that who should not be baptized. Maybe you're wanting to be baptized today. And I've got a list of, we've talked about why you shouldn't. These are the list of people of who shouldn't be baptized. The first one's easy. If you haven't trusted in Jesus as your Savior, obviously I can't say it enough, you shouldn't be baptized. In fact, Scripture even says, it goes as far as saying that if you make a mockery of this, if you baptize without being truly accepting Jesus, knowing Jesus, you're just pouring condemnation on your head. That's serious. Number two, who should not be baptized? Those who have already been baptized by true believers' baptism. For instance, baptism is not for rededications. There is no rededication. You have one old self and it's dead. It doesn't die again. But you're then raised into a new life with Jesus. That doesn't happen over and over and over and over again. That happens once. If you truly come to know Jesus, you're a new creation, and that's it. And if you were truly baptized after that point, then there's no reason to do it again. You say, well, I think I truly did know Jesus, and I was baptized, but you know, I've kind of taken the long way around. I've kind of gotten some stuff that I didn't really want to, and you know, the divorce, and just I sowed some wild oats, you know, whatever. Well, again, this is not, and that may be the case, but you've already been baptized. You've already professed your faith publicly in Jesus. So baptism is not for just rededication, okay? And number three, it's not for those who want an experience. How many people want an experience of being baptized in a creek or with a friend or a family member? A lot of times we'll have a family come up and say, well, my son's getting baptized, Johnny's getting baptized, and since he's doing it, it's a special day, and I just think we should all just get baptized with him. We have that sometimes. I mean, that's what we have people ask for that. And that's just not a scriptural basis for baptism. Okay? The creek thing is a big deal for people around here, apparently, because lots of times we'll have 40 or 50 people want to be baptized in a creek. There's nothing special about the creek. I know it's a cool effect, and we do it because it is, you know, it's just kind of fun to get everybody together and do something kind of like that in an old-fashioned way. But there's nothing special about that creek. It is Sycamore Creek. Okay? Your purpose for being baptized has to be because you want to show other people about your faith in Jesus Christ as the only one that can save you. Simply put, okay? And this is number four. Why should you not be baptized? If any answer other than out of obedience to show the church, my community, and the world that my faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ. So if someone asks you, why are you being baptized today? And it's anything other than that answer, please do not be baptized. Please do not be baptized. This is not what it's about. It's only about out of obedience to show the church, my community, and the world my faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ. That's it. Don't mean to be blunt, but that's what baptism's about. It's about Jesus. It's not about you or your experience. Okay? Switch gears a little bit. How should a person be baptized? And I bet if we took a poll, we could probably come up with 5 or 6 different ways of people in this room of how they've been baptized. Some people have been were sprinkled or dedicated as a child. Some people were sprinkled as an adult. Some people were dunked under the water. Some people just had a cup of water poured over their head. I don't know. There's just several different denominations and different churches practice it different ways. I'll tell you though that 24 Church believes in only believer's baptism by immersion. So we feel like that, well, we don't want to necessarily try to be legalistic and get too technical about it, but we feel like what Scripture teaches is a baptism that's by immersion. So I'm not saying that if you were baptized by sprinkling that it didn't take or something like that. I'm just saying that we as a church, our belief is that true baptism is by immersion. And we get that from, if you look at just the Greek word, if you look at where baptize or baptism shows up in Scripture, the Greek word or root word for that is baptizo. And it literally means, if you were to look up in a Greek dictionary, that word would mean to plunge, to push something down, to immerse into water. That's what that term means. So that's where, if we're going to baptize, we should probably do what the word says and immerse and plunge. It also represents a couple of things. It represents the union of Christ's death and the resurrection best by immersion. So if you think about just the physical act of the resurrection, if you look at what Jesus did, he died, and this is what, when we look at baptism, we represent our death and burial being immersed into the ground, or in this case, water, and we're raised to a new life as Jesus was raised, as Jesus was resurrected. So it represents that. A sprinkling or something like that doesn't necessarily represent that, like as fully as immersion does. And we can, there's some scriptures here I've got to back that up. Colossians 2:12 and Romans 6:3 and 4. Colossians 2:12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith and powerful working of God, who has raised him from the dead. And then Romans 6:3 and 4 says this. It says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, we too may walk in the newness of life. So again, It represents the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and our death of our old self and the raising of a new creation in Jesus. And finally, and why we believe we should be baptized by immersion is that the surrounding context of Scripture suggests baptism by immersion. There's not really that key verse that says you've got to be baptized by immersion or it's not real baptism. It doesn't really say that point blank in Scripture, but all the Scripture, if we look at it, at baptism in context, it kind of leads to that point. So, and I've got a list of Scriptures here. If you're interested in studying this further, I've got a whole list of Scriptures up here that I'll be glad to give to you afterwards if you want to do some more research on it. And I encourage you to if you have some doubt in your mind about it. And finally, I want to reiterate and my final point is just talk about the symbolism of baptism and why it's so important. Just like we believe in communion that it's a symbol of something that we remember of the death, the body and blood of Jesus. We don't actually believe that it's actually the actual body and blood of Jesus like some churches do. It's a symbol. In the same way, baptism is a symbol, and it symbolizes, like we've talked about already, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it symbolizes first. Second, it represents and symbolizes our salvation. The death of our old self, being reborn to a new life in Christ while we baptize to show this and symbolize this. And finally, it symbolizes our mission. It represents the death of our will and our own purpose. See, our old self, if you're a new creation in Christ and if you believe in Christ for your salvation, then you are a new creation in Christ. And your old self has passed away. Your old self had its own mission and its own passion and its own purpose. And they were selfish purposes. They were about yourself. They were about you, me. That's what we are as sinners. We want us to be God. But when we're saved by Jesus, that old self passes away, and with it, so do our selfish purposes. And we become alive in Christ in the purposes of Jesus. So our old purposes are buried, and we have a new mission with the purposes of Jesus. And baptism represents that. This represents both the beginning and the ending of the Great Commission. We see that in the Great Commission. So it starts with baptizing. We make disciples and we send them out, and it ends with baptizing. It's a cycle. So we then continue to make disciples and continue to baptize. It starts and ends with Jesus through baptism. So, I hope this has helped you guys get a little better understanding of baptism this morning. I'm going to ask the band to come on back up and lead us in another song. But I want to encourage you to think about your own baptism experience. Was it truly after your salvation? When you're baptized, do you really know that you have faith in Jesus and Him the only way, that He's the only way to salvation? That you've trusted that Jesus is the only way? Do you know that for sure? It's not too late if you want to be baptized today at Plunge. We'd love to have you, but we want you to do a couple of things. We want you to, first of all, start off by coming and talking to a counselor that will be up here after the service. Just come and talk to somebody. We'll talk to ask your story. Ask about your story. We'll see if you're ready to be baptized, and then We may get you that to talk to an elder or a pastor or a minister. And guess what? You've already been through the class, so you've got that mark, that one done. So, but thank you guys so much. This was not really how today was planned out, but I think it's worked out well. I think it's good that we all really know what we believe about important things like baptism. So let me say a prayer, and then these guys are going to lead us in worship.